have your Bibles, Nehemiah struck me this week that we are in a spiritual battle, everyone here. And you know, this is the year we celebrate, I mean, the week we celebrate our nation's birth, freedom. And yet, you know what happens over time? The Iwo Jima Memorial, you'll see those men trying to get the flag up, and they're forever immortalized in that statue because of what it represented, what they were fighting for and what they died for. I don't think the forefathers ever imagined a second that it would be the freedom of Americans to burn their own flag or to mock the military or to make fun of being an American or to take advantage or go to a ball game and no one pay attention to the national anthem, or few stand, or everybody stands and a few don't. I think the forefathers thought that whenever there was an opportunity to show your patriotism, that everyone would want to do that. If you'd signed your name to the Declaration of Independence, you would have been greatly disappointed by someone not respecting the flag in our country. For they, many of them, gave everything. Not only their lives, but their houses and lands. And many of them ran for their lives by just putting their name on that dotted line. So when you go see that, you realize it cost those people something to sign that. Yea, it would be a great privilege to have your name, your great-great-great-grandfather's name on the Declaration of Independence. But it cost them to do so. Well, you know, we were under attack in America. They didn't want Americans, the old devil didn't want Americans to be free. He didn't want there to be a Christian nation. You can see how much God has blessed us. My goodness, no nation on earth in the history of the world has been blessed like America has. And you and I know why, because of our God. But I want you to understand this. There's not a people in the world that could be as blessed as we have been. And yet the old devil is after all of us. And so I think the old devil has been willing to trade us things for spiritual hearts. Now, there's nothing wrong with things. Did you know the Bible says, prove me now herewith the Lord of hosts and see if I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings, or not room enough to receive it. God's our Father. Loves to bless us. It's not he's against blessings. But don't you give your children more things and do things when they've earned them and they've worked hard for them and they've tried to, in other words, their attitude is right. Aren't you better to them? Don't you give them compliments whenever their spirit is right? Not just because they're your children. And it's the same way with our God in heaven. Now, I want you to see this passage. This is the book of Nehemiah. And I want you to notice, if you would take your Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, and I want you to see we must have a burden. We must have a burden for righteousness. We must have a burden to do what's right and to stand up for what's right, not just for Americans, but to stand up for what's right. A couple of weeks ago, I went into Mission Barbecue. It's a new place down the right-hand side, and they do one thing that's very unique. How many of you know what that is? Let's see here. What is it they do that's unique, Brother Matt?
At noon, all the employees gather around the flag, and they have everyone stand up, salute the flag, and sing the national anthem.
Yeah, so you're sitting there eating, and at noontime, all of a sudden, a voice comes over the loudspeaker, and you try and look behind you, and they probably got 8 million employees behind there, and they're all just working, scurrying around to get you your food quickly and make sure it's good. Well, they all come around and stand to attention, and they're there waiting for that for the national anthem to start, and they take the video screens and put a flag across it, and everybody stands up and they pledge—they sing to the flag, the national anthem, and you'll see all of it every time, every day at noon. Very unique. But every once in a while, I'll see someone as you go in their stand, and they don't have the courage. Maybe they're afraid they'll get beat up or something. I don't know. But they won't have the courage to just sit there. But they'll just stand up. Man. I don't want you to be that way spiritually in your heart. But I want you to understand the devil's after you. He's after every one of you in this room. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows you, and he's after you. He was after the children of Israel. I want you to see the destruction he caused them. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1 in verse number 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. That this is in Jerusalem. And reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. In verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. And mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenants and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let now thine ear be attentive and thine eyes be opened, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. In other words, you have to look at it from his perspective. The wall around the city was a defense against marauding groups, bands of bandits. If there was no wall around the city and no guard that looked around and watched out, the people were prey to everybody that came through it. And so they could never have anything. They would raid them and take their wheat and their grain and their animals. And so they were the poorest of the poor, because when no one raided them because they had nothing. They were nothing. And they didn't care. And they cared, but they didn't do anything to change it. And here Nehemiah is in a foreign land, and he hears about the plight of his country. Now, not just the country. Don't think of it as country, but the people. He said they don't have anything, and there's nothing they can do, and in their minds there's nothing they can do. So he says, what are we going to do? So you know what he does? He hears about it, and it breaks his heart. The first step is you got to have something touch your heart about your family, about your country, the condition they're in. Are your children and your family right with the Lord? Do they walk with the Lord? Is the Lord the most important ingredient in their life? How about you personally? Are your walls broken down? Nobody's going to fix them up for you. It's amazing to me that no one in Jerusalem cared enough to say, oh God, would you help us? It takes a cup bearer in a foreign land to hear about their terrible plight and say, oh, dear God in heaven. Now, you know, I'm supposed to care about the people in this room. That's what a pastor does. And I do care for you. And so this morning, I want to ask you to care for yourself and your own spiritual condition. Are your walls broken down? Because I can assure you, there is one called the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, that's after you. He wants you to think wrong, get your mind dirtied up with pornographic material or pornographic movies or or books and literature, or he wants you to have no character where you can lie easily. He wants you to lie before you think of the truth. He wants you to be dishonest in your heart. He wants you to be interested in getting what you can get. He wants you to take care of yourself before everybody else. He wants you to put yourself first. He wants you to work hard and you provide for yourself and leave God out of it. He wants you to realize if you're going to do anything, it's going to be all on you. And that's the way it is. That's the way life is. I want you to see that the old devil is a master, and he is interested in destroying the individuals in this room and the homes in this room and the marriages in this room. How is your marriage? Is it sweet? Godly? Do you challenge each other spiritually? Can you pray together? You know, first off, folks, you got to realize something's wrong. He hears the story of the condition of Jerusalem, and he said, the walls are all broken down. And notice his statement, look in verse number 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. He didn't even see the place. He just heard the words. You and I are inside our homes and our families. Is your wife your greatest spiritual concern and your children next? Is your husband your greatest spiritual concern and your children next, or your grandchildren? What are your concerns? What do you fast and pray about? What breaks your heart today spiritually? Do you even think about it? Because if you don't, one of these days, your family's walls are going to be all broken down just like Jerusalem. Your own heart, all of your walls will be broken down just like Jerusalem. Well, everybody watches that movie. Everybody talks like that. Everybody thinks like that. Everybody is disrespectful like that. Everybody says things like that. Everybody drives like that. Nobody cares. Why should I care? The walls are broken down. We have a revival here once a year, and you hear 5 messages from somebody that comes in from the outside that God called to preach revival messages. We went to camp and they heard 10 messages. That's one of the reasons I want your children to go to camp. And what an opportunity for me to go for many years. You know, I mean, what an opportunity for me to be able to go this year. What a joy to be with the kids. I mean, I grew to love your children more and to pray for you more. I saw some kids that were spiritually in tune with the Lord and some kids that were sort of unconcerned. It got a hold of my heart. I'm concerned about the people of Temple Baptist Church. Have our walls been broken down? I can't fix them, but I can pray about it. I can ask you to fix them. I can ask us together. Let's work together to build up the walls. I want you to notice, first off, you got to see that Satan has gotten to us. He's gotten areas of our lives. Maybe you say, well, my walls are all up and perfect. And maybe you would say, my walls are up, but the south wall is broken down, or the east wall is broken down. I mean, I don't lie and I don't cheat, but I have a filthy mouth. Or I don't have a filthy mouth and I don't cheat. And I pay my bills and I do all these things, but my marriage is not that great. But it's better than everybody else's. Don't look at somebody else as the standard. Look in heaven. Lord, what do you want from me? Where are the people that would stand up and say, I want the walls up, Lord. I want to be protected. I want to be yours and close to you. That's the reason the passage that Brother Scott read was so critical today. It's because he said the walls were finished. We're safe. We've got some personal convictions that I'm going to read my Bible every day. This morning in Sunday school, I read about, we went over just a little bit about the principles of Scripture, and one of the things that had happened was King David had gone out to get the Ark of God and brought it in, and the whole country said, let's get together and bring the Ark of God in. Yes, let's get together in church, let's get together. But how do we treat God? So they just grabbed somebody and said, Uzzah, you know how. Go ahead and grab that cart. And we'll get a brand new cart. And they did it all wrong. And Uzzah died for it. And David stepped back and says, whoa, what's going on? What's wrong with God? It's like the Lord said, you didn't do things the way I said. Do you understand we serve a God? There's a God in heaven, and I'm amazed at his meticulous order. All the planets aligned, none of them running into each other. Our body's 70% water, and yet we don't leak. Wow. How's that happen? And you know how carefully your potassium and your this and your that and your other things in your body and your sodium and everything about your body, and it all just works. And you get one little thing off and bang, you go to the hospital. Something's wrong. God did that. And yet we treat our bodies like they're our own. God says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. So we think we can do what we want to. So we put drugs in our body. We put alcohol, all kinds of stuff. We wreck our homes. And then we look at it and we look around at everybody else and say, well, look over there. Don't look over there. Look up there. And ask the Lord, what's your home like? Are the walls broken down? What's our church like? Are the walls broken down? I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, quickly turn to Revelation chapter 12. Just very quickly. I just want to see this, and I want you to notice Revelation 12. Now, this is in heaven, just by the way, so you'll know. Notice with me, if you would. Verse 9. The great dragon was cast out. I'm not even sure how many of our families believe there's a great dragon out there. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Hey, your walls are just fine. The way you talk is just fine. The way you think is just fine. Your attitude, your sarcastic, mean-spirited attitude every once in a while when somebody doesn't treat you right, that's okay. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels are cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, Satan is not here attacking anybody in this room, but he's ordering his minions, his demons, around all this old earth, trying to put pressure on you and I to do this and to do that. You and I can't look around and see the demons of hell and the angels of heaven and the battle that's going on, but that's why you and I struggle sometimes in our minds. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Folks, I want to tell you something. We're not right with God if we don't treat each other right, like God says. You don't render railing for railing, 1 Peter 3, but blessing for railing. Where are those kind of homes? You know, I'd like to have 1,000 homes where the children grow up and say, I want to marry somebody like Mom. I want to marry somebody like Dad. But you know what it is in our churches? I've asked teenagers before when I was a youth pastor. It was 10% or less. Something's wrong. Walls are broken down. Do your children know that you love each other? Do they see that your greatest treasure is your wife or your husband? Do they see your greatest treasure is the great God that you serve? And do they see you spend time with him? Do they see you get up in the morning and spend time with him? We're starting homes with the walls already broken down. And we've got homes that have been married 10, 15. I want to know how long you've been married. I want to know how happy you are. I want to know how pleasing it is to Christ. He said their walls are broken down. Why? The old devil's after you. He's accusing you. He's trying to ruin your life. Why? Because he hates God. If he can get you guys on separate pages, God hurts. Who invented marriage? Somebody tell me. Who invented marriage? Jason, who invented marriage? God did. How old are you? He's a teenager. He even knows that. But our country doesn't know that. Our walls are broken down. It's not men with men or women with women. It's God made a man and a woman, and that's his plan. And your wall get broken down, you'll accept anything. I'm not making it up. I'm just telling you what God said. He was the one that said he put the stars in the heavens. Either he did or he didn't. And if the God in heaven put the stars in their place, you and I better listen to him. He wants our homes to be right. And this is a year we celebrate freedom. Freedom to do what? To be miserable? He wants you to love him. He wants you to serve him. He wants your home to be happy. He wants your children to be obedient in the Lord. He wants your relationships to be sweet. He wants you to be able to get out and pray together. Your hearts are in it. I want you to notice just some of the ways the old devil fights us real quickly. I want you to notice, number one, if you would, in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, chapter 4, Nehemiah, verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that the wall, that we builded the wall, he was wroth. Now this is the world. He heard that we builded the wall. He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. You know what? Whenever you and I try to do the right thing according to God's word, and we try to build homes and families that are right, the world's going to say, you're crazy. They're going to make fun of us. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 3. Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him, and he said, even that which they built, if a fox go up, which is one of the smallest animals in their day, that everybody knew about it, he shall even break down their stone wall. Now, what you're building not going to last? Is your marriage last? You know, Matthew, look, somebody's got to see it and say, things aren't the best between my wife and I. That's the first place you look. My children don't love each other and care about each other. One of the things at camp was to love your brother or your sister. Sibling rivalry is normal. It's just not spiritual. You're supposed to love each other. You're supposed to care about each other. Pray for each other. The walls are broken down. We need some Christians, some homes, and some individuals to say, I'm going to spend time with the Lord so I can learn about his word so that I can have my walls up and the Lord to be pleased with me. I can walk with him in safety. We got to build some walls up around our church that we believe the same things that God says so that we can stand up and say, Lord, we want to serve you. Do you know what? I want you to listen to this. One of the greatest treasures that the God of heaven gave me was the principle of love the Lord first. I didn't realize what that meant till Susan went to heaven. But we both wanted to love the Lord more than each other. I don't know if she ever got there, but I had a hard time trying to love the Lord much, much more than her. I never got close to the place where my love for him was like, compared to my love for my wife, was like hatred. I never even got close to that because I loved her so much. But God says, I want you to love me so much that your love for your wife seems like hatred. Anybody here close to that? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. Where are those kind of Christians? You know what I miss? I miss being able to come to church with my wife. See her sitting down right down there. We're together. I miss that. Now, I'm going to see her again. But when the Lord taught me to love him first, that's the reason I get up in the morning and go to camp and be excited. I'm old. Now, I'm not old. I'm seasoned. I learned that at camp. And somebody said this morning, so Pastor, sort of like you're a steak. You're well done. I said, I'm not well done. I'm just mildly seasoned already. And you know, I learned and I begin to say, you know, I'm excited about things. And you know, who says you can't be old and not go to camp and have a good time? But it's up here. We've got to get to the point, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, and I want to love people. I want to be a blessing. And I begin to look at it, and I say, you know, boy, I got up this morning. I got to go to church by myself, but I get to see all the people. If you're married today, it's a great treasure. How is it? If you got parents today that are together, are you proud of them? Have you told them? Are your children grateful for what they have? Do they even see it as this is the plan of God? Now, there may be some things happening you can't change, but I tell you one thing you can change. You can have the walls around your life. And your kids can look at them and say, I want to be like Dad. I want to be like Mom. That's what I had. My mother gave that to me. Her heart was broken, but boy, I wanted to be like Mom. I wanted to get up in the morning and spend my time with the Lord, and I wanted the Lord to know that I loved him, and I heard my mom pray, and I said, that's what I want to be like. So yeah, she put some walls up by herself, and so can you. And I notice here, if you would, in chapter 4, they're getting mocked and made fun of. And notice, if you would, in verse number 4 of Nehemiah, hear, O our God, we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head. Lord, we're made fun of. We're mocked. Lord, you take care of them. Lord, help us to do what you want us to do. We know you want us to build a wall. Lord, help us to do it. So notice, if you would, in verse number 6, so we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together into a half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. We all have to work at it together. We got a mind to work. I want to build a home that God is proud of. I want to build a life that God is proud of, you individually. It doesn't matter what God's called you to do. If you're called to be a truck driver or a doctor or a lawyer or a school teacher or you work for one of the initials of the government, whatever you do, what kind of a Christian are you? Are your walls up? Do you protect your thoughts? Do you check them with the Lord? Lord, is this okay with you? Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Where are the kinds of Christians that want God to be pleased with everything that you do more than you want to live? So when I realized I'm supposed to love the Lord the most and I lost my wife, all was not lost. She just went to heaven, and now I get to serve the Lord and have a little bit more time. I can drive the bus. I can go to camp. I can pray for the kids. I can put them on my prayer list. I can spend time with them. I can coach them a little bit. I can put my arms around them, tell them I'm proud of them. I can do a few more things. I can visit people a little bit more. It doesn't mean that my life is over. It means I've got a new chapter. And you know, when you get to be 70 or 80 or 90, you just get a new chapter. Doesn't a book have chapters? When are you willing to say, forget it, I got more chapters, but I'm done writing? You're not done writing to your last breath. But you can't just say, I'm going to write what I want. Your walls are broken down. Notice, if you would, verse number 10. When the old devil gets after you, he starts making fun of you. He can mock you. Notice in verse 8, Nehemiah 4:8. Notice this, what he says. And conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now that's what the old devil and all the demons of hell have conspired together to come and ruin your life. And when I say ruin your life, not to not give you things, but to ruin your spiritual heart where you have very little interest in God. I think the old devil's smart enough that he wants us to have some interest, just not too much. Because you might notice it if you had a little bit of interest. I mean, if you had no interest in God at all. Everybody would notice that. So he wants you to have a little bit of interest. He wants you to come to church once, at least every 2 or 3 months. Or at least once every month. Or at least one service a week. He wants you to at least try to get that in. But where are the Christians that say, Lord, I'm all in. Teach me everything I can learn. When I was growing up, my father was a plumber. But we went to church every time the doors were open because he said, that's important. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't remember seeing my father read his Bible. I did see my mother. I know this. If you don't spend time in God's Word daily, the old devil will get you. Your wall's got to be up. And here's the way you build it. The hammer that puts God's word into your heart and your life. It teaches you integrity and honesty and truthfulness. It teaches love for people. It teaches you kindness, joy, peace, long-suffering, forgiveness. It teaches you that. And without that, your walls are broken down. Somebody can do something to you, say something to you, and your wall goes up. I don't like that guy anymore. Your walls are broken down. If you can't forgive your wife because she doesn't do something right, your walls are broken down. Verse number 10, notice Nehemiah 4:10. And Judah saith, now one of their own selves, Judah, one of the leaders of Israel, says, hey, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed and there's much rubbish, so we're not able to build a wall. There's always somebody comes in and the old devil gets in their heart and says, hey, look, our families are okay. Our kids are okay. I mean, look, where are the spiritual giants that say, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what's right. In other words, it doesn't matter what God calls them to do, what vein of service, it's do they have a heart for the Lord? Are they seeking God's job, God's ministry? Are they seeking the Lord's way? Where are those teenagers? That's why we take them to camp. It's not because Brother Scott and I and Brother Nathan doesn't have something better to do with his week of vacation. Or Rachel or Manchesky's. I appreciate all them going and driving. I mean, who wants to give up a week of vacation and drive all night? People of the Lord. I appreciate Jonathan and Tiffany. I appreciate Nathan. Appreciate Brother Scott. And so should we. We ought to treasure the people that say, that treasure our families. But I'm afraid sometimes we get this circle about what am I getting out of things in the home, in the marriage, in the church, everything. Folks, are your walls broken down? Because there's always going to be somebody and say, look, hey, just because my kids curse a little bit or they tell a little bit of a dirty joke or something's off color and we laugh just a little bit, I know that's probably not the best thing, but it's okay. Folks, we ought to be horrified when something little gets into our home, gets into our hearts, but we're not. We need Nehemiah's heart. I see it, Lord. I'm sorry. How's your heart? Now, you may not can change what's in the past. None of us can. But every one of us, we can change the days of the future. Will you see the problem? How close to the Lord are you? Are your walls broken down? Are you one of the ones that are making fun of people trying to do what's right? Like Judah. Hey, everything's, we can't do any more work. Notice, if you would, there are all kinds of issues. But I want you to see there's got to be a plan. I'm going to close real quickly. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 16. It came to pass from that time forth. The word got around that they're going to try to sneak up on us. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return to us, they will be upon us. In other words, they're going to sneak up on you, and they're going to kill you in the back. They're going to sneak up on you. You're never going to know when they hit you. The walls are not up, and they're never going to get up, and you're going to get attacked. There's no reason to try. And he said in verse number 13, therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall, on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. So he said, I said, some people behind the wall said, you sit there and you have your sword. Notice what else he does in verse number 16. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields. In other words, we're going to switch off, and we're going to work together. We're going to get a plan together. What's your spiritual plan to keep the Lord first place in your life? And in the home of your children's? And in the heart of your wife? I prayed for Susan's heart when she was here. I prayed, Lord, keep her heart right with you. Lord, help her to grow in you more and more. I rejoiced when I watched her read her Bible. Lord, thank you for a wife that cares about you. When have you told your husband that you respect him spiritually? Or when have you done something that your wife could say that about? Or your husband or your wife, either one. Or your children. We don't praise each other enough for the things that we do what's right, because the walls are broken down. I noticed if you would, the answer was Nehemiah's heart. There has to be somebody in every home that says, I'm going to serve the Lord. Notice what happens. In verse 8, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. In verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 14, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. You know what? Some of you need to make up your mind. You're going to fight for your wife. You're going to fight for your husband spiritually. Now, the way you do it is on these knees. You're going to fight for your parents. You're going to fight for their sweetness. You know, children, I had a guy in Chicago that the father got saved because the children got burdened for him and begged him to come to church. He said, I don't do that. And the children kept after him, came to church one Sunday, heard the gospel and got saved. And they became missionaries because the children said, Daddy, we want you to go to church with us. Well, how much more powerful is it when you're a teenager and you say, Mom and Dad, I want your marriage to be strong and I want you to know I'm praying for you. Where is it, ye that are strong, bear your one another's burdens? I'm afraid the walls are broken down. Not everybody's. But it's not up to me to look around and say, yours are and yours are and yours are. It's up to you to say, dear Lord, do I see with spiritual eyes? Now, you know if your marriage is sweet or if it's not. You know if you're a good husband or I don't mean if you provide food. I don't mean if you go to work every day and work hard. I don't mean that. Sure, that's a part of it. I mean, if you love your wife with all your heart, you tell her that, and you praise her for the things that she does, and you love your husband, and you tell him that you're proud of him and you're thankful for him. I mean, you and I would say, I'm so thankful for your spiritual leadership. Can she say that? Can you as children say, I'm thankful. I want to be like Dad. Every man in this room ought to ask yourself this question, two parts. Lord, am I pleasing to you in everything? And two, can my family, wife, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, look at me and say, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to love the Lord like that. I remember growing up in my church, and I can remember Ray Kanjerski and the impact he had on my life. Mr. Brazel, don't even know his first name. He was always Mr. Brazel to me. And he worked in Lackawanna's, and he loved me. Time when I needed it. I remember John Collier, my youth pastor, and he loved me. The time when I needed it. How's your life? Lord, are my walls broken down? Is one corner broken down? You know how many parts of the wall have to be broken down before you're vulnerable? Just a corner. A door has to be unlocked. The old devil is good at what he does. How's your heart? How's your home? Let's bow for a word of prayer. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If some of your walls are broken down, and you know it, why don't you forget anybody else is in the room? Why don't you come and say, Lord, I want you to know I'm sorry. I want to build them back up. Ask the Lord, do you feel first in my life? Ask yourself, do your children look up to you spiritually? Does your wife, do your husband, do they look up to you spiritually? I looked up to Susan spiritually. She loved the Lord. A wife can have a great impact on her husband spiritually. But not if your walls are broken down. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, if I die today, I don't even know if I go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure. I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. But I don't know that if I died this morning, I'd go to heaven. Would you come to me this morning? Let me help you get it squared away. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, the Lord knows my life, my home. I need to make some changes. And the first one, I see it. And it's touched my heart. Your wife is watching. Your husband is watching. Your children are watching. God is watching. Lord Jesus, would you point out to us everyone whose corner of the wall is broken down, or whose gate is left open. Lord Jesus, maybe we're like Jerusalem. The whole thing's broken down. Somebody's got to care. Would you touch our hearts today? In your precious name we pray.